You're listening to Red Nation Online.
I'm Roberto Garcia, and as always, I'm accompanied by George Chidobe. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Montreal Impact's preseason, the Disney Cup. We're in the final. We're going to be looking forward to the regular season, our opener in Seattle, and our home opener against Toronto at the Big O. We're going to be talking about our fantasy rosters. We're going to start putting together our fantasy rosters and arguing about our selections, obviously. We're also going to explore, revisit the House of Pain that is TFC, and talk about what's going on there. And finally, we're going to get to Joey Saputo always gives us new topics of conversation every week, so we're going to be talking about one of Joey's recent emails to the season ticket holders. But first, I want to welcome one of our newest collaborators, Mr. Kevin Darame.
Hello, how you doing?
Welcome, Kevin. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Psyched about a new season coming.
Yeah? So you're a season ticket holder. You're an ultra.
Yeah, I'm a 132. I wouldn't say I'm an ultra, but I've got a lot of friends in the ultras. Hang out with them a couple times.
Cool.
I pretty much go to the bar with them before and after games and.
Brasserie 99.
Yeah, you can say that.
And how did it start, Kevin? How did it all start?
Well, it all started with me going to the home opener last year in the Big O by myself in I think section 127 out of nowhere.
Okay. That's the game against Chicago.
Exactly. Yeah, the 1-1. With the Davey Arnault goal.
Yeah.
And I just looked at the supporter section, looked at the cup, and I was like, wow, got to be part of it. I met one guy who always come drink at my bar. Hi, I'm Mini Sabrango. A little shout out to one of my friends. And we started talking and went to the cup with him and been there ever since.
So nice. You would say it was the electricity of the stadium that made you jump on the bandwagon.
Exactly. I've been to a couple of games. I've been to the CONCACAF Champions League in 08 when I've seen against Real Esteli and Joe Public. I was there for those two games.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I won tickets on the radio for those two games, and I've been with my brothers. Had a lot of fun, but the spark really lighted up last year when I saw the Ultras, went with them. The cup is amazing. You get an atmosphere and an experience that no other sport can give it to you.
So you went to the game last year, you loved the game, and you jumped on the bandwagon. And what did you do next? Did you call Impact and say, I want my tickets now?
Actually, I was lucky enough to I work at a restaurant, and my boss gave me tickets for every single game of the season.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
So I actually went to every single game without buying one ticket last year. So yeah, that was a goal I gave to myself, and I actually made it.
Nice.
But this year I bought my tickets at 132 and, yeah.
Nice.
Perfect. Well, since we're talking about season tickets and this show here, I'm going to make every possible chance to give a shout out to our season to our ticket exec, Mr. Rami Kamel Toureg.
You can find him on Twitter at Ramifications with a Y.
And if you need those season tickets, you call this guy right here because he's going to set you up. It's as easy as this with that guy. You write him an email, you give him a phone call, it's done and it's guaranteed.
You guys really need to get in touch with Rami. His email is also rami.kamel/toureg@impactmontreal.com, or just go to impactmontreal.com, click on tickets, you're going to find this guy. You need to talk to this guy. Get your ass in a seat at Olympic Stadium for the home opener and for our game against Red Bulls.
Give him your credit card number and get those tickets now.
Get yourself that Impact MasterCard. Put the ticket on the MasterCard. Figure out how to pay it later.
Exactly.
Because we got to support this team. Because, guys, I've been reading that so far, we've only gotten 15,000 tickets sold for our home opener at the Big O.
It's kind of disappointing. It disappoints me because, for me, I remember last year taking the Metro to work, and you would see the huge posters, Ricketts, Bernier, Rivas, all these different marketing posters. Right now, I'm taking the Metro to work. The home opener, yeah, it's less than a month away, but I see shit in the Metro. Mm-hmm. I see shit at the bus booths. I see nothing in stores. I see nothing on billboards. I understand they're too poor to sign Eddie Sabrango on their administration team, but come on, a a couple of posters. You could reuse those same posters they had last year and change the dates. But the point is that they gotta have some sort of spirit, some sort of flair for this game. And so far, there's nothing. Only 15,000 seats. And out of those 15,000, 7,000 are season ticket holders.
Exactly. For me, if you're going to play a game in the Olympic Stadium, you got to try and sell out the stadium. Because when the this is a 60,000 seat capacity stadium. If you only have 15,000 bums in those seats...
It looks empty.
It looks empty. It feels empty. It sounds empty.
It drowns out the ultras. Drowns them out.
Exactly. So my point is we have two big games at the Olympic Stadium. Jerry Saputo, just please give away some tickets.
There's no Beckham this year to fill it out, too, so we got to work our way to do it.
And we know Army is not going to fill those seats.
Exactly. You may have some Bleus, some Frenchmen coming to see Henri, but they're going to be the vast minority. Mm. If I were Joey Saputo, if I were Richard Legendre, I would be giving away tickets. It's 2 weeks away!
Joey, we were talking with Kevin before, and Kevin mentioned something about how Toronto FC, for that home opener here in Montreal, there's going to be 5,000 Reds. Why? Because... TFC is giving away free tickets for this away game. Do the same thing for us. Throw us a bone.
Trip included. They're giving a trip included as well. They're giving the free bus ride for
Are
all the supporters.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh to fill up the Olympic Stadium. Now, I understand that, you know, you don't want to give freebies for the BMO field, but when you have that early game in the season to have it at Rogers, you can get all us Impact fans over in that stadium.
Yeah.
But do we have a game at Rogers?
No.
We don't play them. No. Actually, they're two games from Toronto. They're all opponents at Rogers Stadium.
So at one point next year, perhaps Joey can throw us the bone, you know? But the point is that every year, Toronto FC gets that fucking free ticket. Or last year it started because we were in MLS, but from now on, they're going to get those free tickets, those season ticket holders in Toronto. I want my free ticket to that away game in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the business rationale behind them giving Toronto FC tickets for a big O match, because in Montreal, with the climate we have, you're always going to have to play in the Olympic Stadium in the month of March and maybe in the month of April, depending on the weather. And one of those matches in March and April is definitely going to be Toronto. So it only makes sense in a cavernous stadium like the Big O to just give tickets away to Toronto fans and even pay their transportation. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with having as many Toronto fans as possible in the Olympic Stadium. The problem is on our side is we need to get Montreal fans into the stadium to drown out those TFC supporters.
No, they're probably going to do what they did last year, Rob, when we got our season ticket holder package. They're going to give a freebie for games that we already have, and not that freebie for maybe that Canadian championship game we deserve.
Or like a Lyon.
Or a guarantee to a potential CONCACAF Champions League match. Because that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because right now, they're making an important point here at the Disney Cup Challenge that they're going to win this tournament. Win this tournament, get motivation, because the next tournament after that is that Canadian Championship. And we need to win this, and we need to get that path into the CONCACAF group, into the CONCACAF region. We need those players on that team.
We do, and we're going to discuss our semifinal opponent, TFC, in a little bit. But just to stay on attendance for just a few minutes, guys, there was an interesting article in La Presse on February 13th by André Dubuc. Just to give you some stats, the attendance for last year in 2012, our average attendance was 17,000. Our goal for this year is to average 18,500 at every game. Last season, our number of season ticket holders were 8,000. Their goal was 13,000.
Huge goal by Richard Legendre.
So far this year, we have 7,000 season tickets, so probably most of those renewals.
Their goal is 8. They brought the goal down to 8.
The goal has been brought down to 8. Do you guys think reaching 8,000 season ticket holders is realistic for this year?
Well, they got, 2 weeks to get that 1,000 right now?
Yeah.
Are we talking about, is the date d'échéance the 2nd of March when the season begins? Because I think it would be fair to make that your deadline and not the home opener.
Yeah, but you know that we're going to sell season tickets even after the beginning of the season, because when the playoffs and the hockey stops... Mm. Either Montreal is there or not, when the playoff stops, everybody's going to jump on the Montreal Impact bandwagon. Mm. Now the Montreal Canadiens are good, they're playing good, got young players, so nobody's talking about soccer anymore.
Yeah.
Give it a couple months and
Yeah, you think they'll reach that 8,000 target?
Oh, I think we'll reach it probably before the March 2nd.
Okay.
I think we can.
Okay.
I would say 10,000 is not out of the question.
Oh yeah. Okay. We're gonna hold you to that. We're gonna write that down on the board. We're gonna see if that one comes true.
I think 10,000.
If you want those season tickets, just give Rami a call.
Ramifications on Twitter. You gotta call this guy, people. So just a few more stats, guys, that I found interesting. The Impact's budget, or actual revenue in NASL, was $6 to $7 million in 2011. 2012, they went up to $19 million. So they're starting to get those revenues in. But the numbers that were the most appalling to me were around the Impact's broadcast deals. RDS, the average ratings, the average code d'écoute on RDS was 150,000 for MLS matches. How much was it on TVA Sport? Only 50,000. So, three times more viewers on RDS TSN than on TVA Sport.
And RDS and TSN are, by the way, the official MLS broadcast channel. And TVA Sport is the official Montreal Impact broadcast channel.
Montreal Impact's best match in terms of ratings was the season opener against Vancouver. That one on TSN RDS got 200,000 viewers in Canada. So, to me, it's obvious. If you want people to know about the Impact, you gotta be on a channel that people actually have.
There's a big difference. The way RDS and TSN works about marketing their product is a lot more efficient than TVA Sport would do it. TVA Sport uses all their channels, but if you're a real soccer football fan, do you watch TVA a lot between you and me? No, you watch RDS, Sportsnet, TSN, online streams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where RDS and TSN do their marketing. So you know when those games are playing. With TVA Sport, you know it the next day because you see it's online. That's how you know it. You missed it.
Mm.
So
yeah. I mean, who has TVA Sport as part of their package? It's one of these channels that you have to pay extra for.
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't even come with your package.
It is ridiculous. I remember the trouble I had to go through to get the TVA Sport package. I had to drop basically Sportsnet. The whole Sportsnet, like 1, yeah. 2, East, West, 1, World, whatever, to get this TVA Sport and TVA Sport HD, which I used just for those, you know, games that we couldn't see, you know, when they were away, which sucked, you know, which sucked.
You get a couple of Champions League games at TVA Sport, but it's never the game you want
to
see.
We went to a couple of bars last year, Kevin, and we couldn't even get the fucking Impact match because they didn't have TVA Sport.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Nobody knows about TVA Sport, yet Joey makes it pertinent and important to fucking make this deal with them.
Well, I won't say the name of my source because I won't give it away, but I talked to a couple of people in your organizations, in the actual Impact organization, and they were concerned with the professionalism of the actual broadcast. There's a big difference between RDS and TSN and TVA Sport. Just look at the offside replays. You need to see offside replays.
Especially with a guy like DiBaio.
Exactly. DiBaio. Are you guys FIFA players? Are you guys
FIFA players? Yeah.
The thing, I play FIFA with the Impact, and the thing I hear all the time is, offside is Marco Di Vaio. Marco Di Vaio was offside. Anyways, there's a big difference of professionalism between the two channels. You get a lot of good replays, good commentary with RDS and TSN. I'll let the two guys with the TVA Sport, but the package is not built the same way. You don't get the replays, you don't get the same atmosphere that you get with RDS and TSN. And I think it's a big part of those ratings.
Yeah, and just to give you one final stat, TVA Sport is going to broadcast the first 11 of 14 Impact matches. They're going to broadcast 22 in total. RDS TSN is going to broadcast 12. But 11 of those first 14 matches, when, as you say, it's crucial to get those season ticket holders hooked, no one's going to see our first 11 matches out of 14.
The first third of the season is just TVA Sport exclusivity, it seems.
Yeah.
And just on a side note, too, I was listening to Philippe Germain's last podcast, and he mentioned, you know, one little sentence in terms of Radio-Canada.
Yeah.
Radio-Canada, back when the Impact were in the NASL, they averaged 100 to 150,000 viewers per match. With something like almost 300,000 when they won their last championship
at
NASL.
At 11 o'clock at night when nobody's, that's when they get the 150,000 in there.
So this is ridiculous. Maybe they should just go back to the tradition and the culture, since Joey's all about that. Maybe put an X on TVS Bach and go back to Radio Canada. Because you know what? I think Radio Canada is a lot more accessible for all these people.
It's free.
And exactly. And I don't have to call up Simpatico or whatever, Bell, whatever. I don't even know what it is. Bell Express View. And say, yo, you know, change me that package because I needed to get these stupid games, you know, because I already have it.
Exactly.
So we need to create a buzz at the beginning of the season to build up a buzz and momentum to make sure that we get that those 10,000 season tickets and to make sure that we get a good atmosphere, a good vibe in the team. And with the first 11 games at TVS Bach, we're going to just... It's going to be noise. It's not going to be a...
It's going to be completely overshadowed by the Montreal Canadiens, which... Is it a certain sense inevitable in Montreal? You are going to be overshadowed to a certain extent by hockey, but you're not doing yourself any favors by being on a channel that no one has.
Yep.
Pierre Péladeau needs to do us all a favor right now. He needs to make his TVS Sport free for everybody until his Nordiques come to Quebec, and then you charge, because that's when he's going to make the money.
Yeah.
You make TVS Sport, you want to make it known TVS Sport, you give it for free to everybody right now, and when his Nordiques come, because that's why TVS Sport has been created for his Nordiques, then he'll basically make the package where you have to pay.
Exactly.
But in the time being, there's no point for me to pay for this exclusivity on the Impact matches on TVS Sport, to have my exclusivity on the Masters tournaments and some tennis tournaments, when I can catch that shit always on RDS and TSN.
Yeah,
exactly.
And speaking about building a brand of TV broadcasting, we need to build up before games as well. There's even RDS don't do that. You need to do, like, even if it's only a half an hour, 20 minutes,
yeah,
a little pre-match, a build-up, make time to people to tune in.
You're talking about like an anti-champ, but just for the Impact?
Exactly.
Have some alumni?
Exactly.
Patrick Leduc. I'd like to see maybe John Lignatis there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Ali Gerba.
Rudy Deliska.
Oh, my God.
Where's Valerio Gazzola when you need him?
Where is Gazzola? Each time I think of Gazzola, it's that jump when he won the first championship.
Yeah. 94, baby. 94. But we need to actually build up like a pre-match or a pre-match affair. Something with interviews, but that speaks about the game as well. The actual play, what you need to look for. Will Divayo be offside? Will Felipe fell down? Whatever. You need to know before.
Exactly. There needs to be a soccer culture, and not only a culture, but... a knowledgeable culture built in Montreal. You know, if you went on the street and asked the average Joe about hockey tactics, there's a good chance that the average Joe knows a thing or two about hockey tactics, has a good deal of depth knowledge about the rules of the game, about the league. I'm just talking about your average hockey fan, because in Montreal, there is that level of knowledge, there is that level of culture, and part of that is inculcated through TV, because we watch TV, we listen to anti-champ, we see this expert analysis, and we all learn. We all become better experts about hockey. The same thing, I think, needs to happen with soccer.
There's 2 million Montreal Canadian coaches in Montreal, so...
There you go.
I get it.
There you go.
We need to do the same thing for the Impact. We need to actually understand what Mr. Charlie Baum's doing.
Exactly.
When he means 1-2 passes, 1-2 touches, we need to understand to a new crowd, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What? This is my shout out to Joey Saputo, because we always shout out to Joey Saputo, like to give him a little bit of jabs on each podcast. Joey, what you need to do is have monthly sessions with different season ticket holders, where you sit down and you talk to us. You get to know what we want, and what it's not up to us to think about TVS ball. You see now the stats. The stats are there. The survey data is there, Rob. It's there.
At least for the cut they could.
At least for that, you know. So he needs to know that nobody is watching TVS Ball right
exactly
now.
And Joey claims to know what the fans want, because he said it in a couple statements, so...
I think we should segue into that right now.
Yeah, well, let's segue right into it. What we're referring to, this started on January 10th. For those of you who listened to Oranges at Halftime with... one of our favorite broadcasters, Mr. Noel Butler.
Noel.
At the Soccer Noel on Twitter.
You know what, Rob? I think we're gonna play the clip right now.
Let's play it for folks.
An owner sitting at the table when we had these discussions, and just seeing the way the interaction, which to me is the determining factor on whether we'd be able to work together moving forward if the philosophy was the same. And it was funny watching Marco and Nick and even Mauro, you know, talking about soccer and going at it and, you know, thinking about certain players and the way we play and the way we should be playing. And what. So I think that was a determining factor. You saw the way everything kind of blended well together. We're a very European-type city. We like the European flavor. We're different from Toronto. We're different from the other American cities. The culture is different. And it was hard. It was hard to adapt. Our fans didn't accept the fact that we brought in so many American players. Our fans wanted to see the European players, the South American players. So when we talk about the philosophies weren't the same, that's what it was. That's the type of, you know, the direction wasn't the same.
Strong words there from Impact President Joey Saputo. Says it as it is.
Strong words from Joey. TSN Cisnefzito. All right.
So I'm disgusted by listening to that, Rob.
I was disgusted by this clip. Every time we hear this clip, I get more and more mad. This is a clip from the January 10th broadcast of Orange is at Halftime. Go download it on iTunes and listen to Mr. Noel Butler. You're going to hear, and you heard it. We're, according to Joey, we're a very European-type city. Do you guys agree with this statement?
Last time I checked, Quebec is in Canada, and we're Canadian?
Yeah.
Anyways.
I live in Laval. There's nothing European about Laval whatsoever.
Exactly. This is such a cliche, the whole European thing. But anyway, this is the straw man that Joey puts up there to justify what he said next, which is our fans didn't accept the fact that we brought in so many American players.
I'm going to say that again, too, because I need to read that, because each time I read it, it gets me more upset. Our fans didn't accept the fact that we brought in so many American
players. So I just want to jump on that for a sec. Joey, when you say our fans didn't accept, where was the survey data that you surveyed us and you and the survey data came back saying that the fans said we wanted more South Americans, more Europeans, and specifically less Americans?
And what about the Canadians?
And what about the Canadians? Where are the mention of Canadian players in this clip?
How many do we have now? We have two, Bernier and We met officially.
Where's the survey data?
Did the fans not appreciate watching Troy Perkins in net? He's an American. Did the fans not appreciate the minutes that Andrew Wenger played and the goals that Andrew Wenger scored in those crucial matches?
Our Jeb by night?
Did the fans not enjoy Jeb? Did the young girls not enjoy Valentin and his flowing locks?
Oh, Oreo buddy.
Exactly.
Andrew Wenger.
I think the fans accepted Andrew Wenger and Troy Perkins and some of these guys. Now
I saw Impact jerseys with these names in the stands of these players.
A lot of Valentin jersey and Arnold jersey in the stands.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say the fans did not accept Justin Braun. I think the fans are a little upset at times with Justin Mapp. But to say that our fans didn't accept that we brought in so many American players, to me, that is pure Joey Saputo projecting his wishes and his desires onto the fan base.
Don't speak for me, Joey. Don't speak for me, because I did not acknowledge any type of survey, and I still don't know where the survey data came from. The key word here is survey data. Where is it? Where was it? Because I never received one.
And between you and me, guys, I couldn't care less about where the players are from. It's actual styles of play, the way they touch the ball, the way they kick it, their class, their quality. That's important to me.
Yeah.
They could be from New Zealand, from New Guinea, from Australia. I couldn't care less. You play good, you score goals, I love you.
It's about winning.
Exactly.
Winning.
Exactly. But Joey has one foot in the business space, and he has one foot in the technical space.
Oh, and he has another foot on that FIFA Fantasy 2013 roster, where he has that Italy 2006 World Cup Championship poster on his wall, and he's putting the X's on the players he's tried to get, you know, and he's still stuck probably on Luca Toni. That's where this whole block is, you know?
Exactly. So he's trying to project onto the fans to justify his trades and his transactions. And he says, and you hear him say in that clip, our fans wanted to see more European players, more South American players.
He omitted two key words here. Central American and Canadian. What about those two regions?
Exactly. I wonder if Joey knows. I wonder if Joey has a map of our continent on his wall. And I wonder if he knows that the CA, in the first CA in CONCACAF, stands for Central America. You know, that's the region of the world that we compete in. That's where we have to be successful, because obviously it's an assumption we're beating Toronto in the semifinal. I'm assuming we're going to beat Vancouver in the Voyager Cup final. We're going to CONCACAF.
Hey, don't take out Edmonton yet. Edmonton can beat Vancouver. You never know, man.
So we were
you
saying.
Never know. Can you imagine if Montreal goes to the final against Edmonton?
Booking my flight to Edmonton, my friend.
I'm going.
Imagine if Edmonton wins the whole championship and goes to CONCACAF.
Yeah.
Then like Montreal did in 2008-2009.
Well,
well, it could happen.
We can always dream. But I'm, you know, as someone from a Latino background, I'm a little worried when I hear the blanket term South American, because I hope Joey realizes that we actually need to compete with Central Americans before we can start competing with South Americans in the FIFA Club World Cup.
Yeah, or the Copa Libertadores, where we're not in right now, Joey. Well, so it's like Central America, Canadian, yeah. Caribbean, Carabana.
Yeah.
Come on, Joey.
And we have very competitive players in MLS from the CONCACAF region, such as Jerry Bankston, mm-hmm. such as Blas Perez, Ryan Johnson in Toronto. We had fun watching this guy.
All those Honduran guys, you get a... Even Espinoza is not there anymore, but he's used to playing the MLS, CONCACAF guy.
They're scary, these countries. We got shit on 8-1 in Honduras, in San Pedro Sula.
Honduras tied the... Or did they beat or tie the U.S. recently? I can't remember, but I know Bankston scored.
They beat the U.S. 2-1, actually, last week.
So, I mean, this is my point. We're competing. We need to be competitive in CONCACAF. So I wonder if there's a connection between perhaps getting Central American players, Caribbean players of a high quality. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there.
The South American and Central American players got a real pace to their play that actually could really help an MLS team. Because we all know MLS is more north to south kind of league. We're trying to use a different style of play in Montreal right now, which I agree with. But you still need that guy, that Niasse on the wing, to get pace. And there's a lot of those types of players down there.
So Joey,
don't speak for us.
Don't speak for us. And you know, on February 1st, Joey sent out an email basically saying... trying to backpedal from his...
Yeah, basically trying to wipe his ass from the shit he made. Basically what he wrote, Rob, was the following.
Go ahead.
And this is what probably appalls me the most.
And this,
right
and this is an email to the season ticket holders on February 1st.
And I quote Joey Saputo. I've received many comments recently regarding the fact that the Montreal Impact is not interested in American players. This is simply not true.
It's funny that he says it's simply not true, because he said the exact opposite on Oranges at Halftime, but continue.
The only thing I mentioned was that Montreal has a different reality than other North American cities, and because of this, our supporters expect to see European and South American players as well.
Again, where's the survey data to back up that assertion? Joey, did you pass fifth grade English class where they told you when you make an assertion, you have to back it up with a reference? He's pulling this out of his ass.
I don't know what movie I saw back in the day, but the word was assumptions are the mother of all fuck-ups. And this is what it is, because there's no survey data to back up this claim that we expect to see European and South American players.
Well, we were talking earlier about projection. Like you guys say, I pretty much think that our fans can be substituted for I in those circumstances. I think that's what he wants. So, hey, I don't blame the guy. If I had a soccer team for 20 years, I'm an Italian owner, I like the Italian players, I would try to get them as well.
Yeah.
But just be honest about it.
Exactly. Be honest, Joey. We know you have a huge set of cojones. So take your cojones and just tell us what you think. Because hiding behind the fans... It's low. It's deceptive.
It's low. Because we give him the money, and now he's shitting on us. Because I did not say that. I did not say I didn't like the American players.
Exactly.
And I did not say I wanted South American and more European players.
Yeah.
I finally have enough European players as is right now on the squad. And now we need to basically adapt together. We need this cohesion.
Yeah.
And then whatever missing pieces we find out we're missing from... beginning of the season till the next transfer deadline, then we're going to get those pieces in the summer, in June, July.
We might get the recounting, you never know.
right. I mean, my final point on this is, does Joey understand the league he's in? Does he understand that this league is, unfortunately for us in Canada, really set up to promote American soccer talent? So there are regulations and logistical limits that he has to respect. in terms of the numbers of American versus foreign players versus Canadian players that he has. And we've seen other teams in the past and other coaches in the past fail because they cannot contend with all the logistical hurdles of working in MLS, which is a salary cap league, which is a league where you have many other restrictions.
The allocation process, and it's a complicated league to get trying to get new players. It is true.
That's what turns off new players from coming to this league, all this stuff, because, you know, something about the allocation process where, if, let's say, a team like Montreal wants to get some sort of free agent, and Montreal is ranked 7th in the allocation process, well, some other team from 1 to 6 can pick up that player when he wants to enter into the league, and now Montreal has to throw this other team a deal to get that player, you know? So it's a very complicated league. You got to read their guides and policies, I guess, because
you got to know them inside out.
Yeah.
You got to know them inside out. You need to have at least someone in there. If it's not the coach, it should be Nick DeSantis, but I hope Schalibaum understands and has read the rule book, because I'm reading the Beckham experiment, for example, and there's a lot of examples in there about coaches that fail because they cannot understand, they can't wrap their mind around the logistics of this league.
Yeah, Eddie Johnson is a good example of the allocation process. We picked him up as first on the list last year.
All of those poker bluffs from Jesse Marsh.
And we shipped them off for Fichito and Eagle, who are both not even with the club anymore. So.
Who?
Lamar who?
Has Fuchito been traded to somewhere where they speak his language?
Fuchito speaks alien, it seems, and he's not welcome in Portland. He's not welcome in Montreal, so I don't know where we need to ship him. Do we need to ship him to the Puerto Rico Islanders? Maybe he speaks Puerto Rican, I don't know.
You could go play with Montano, you never know.
Exactly.
All right.
Imagine these two guys in the STM Metro subway station. They would get lost. They wouldn't be able to get through together. To get to McGill Metro, it seems. I don't know.
They'd come out in Laval and be like, "Where the hell are we?" So speaking of traveling, guys, let's look forward to traveling to Toronto. Have you guys watched any of this Disney Cup? Have you seen any TFC? Are you impressed?
Have you seen Stephen Fry's nose? I think he's still looking for it. God.
This guy, I don't know what to say with this guy. I feel bad for this guy. Yeah. I feel bad. He has the worst luck in the world. He's like you said it, Rob, the Andre Markov of TFC. Injured, comes back from injury, and gets injured again.
The last two CONCACAF runs for Toronto, I attended most of those games while I was in Toronto, so I was at BMO Field for most of those CONCACAF matches. And I never saw Fry play. It was always Kosic.
Kosice.
I spent 2 years going to CONCACAF matches at BMO Field. Never once saw Fry play. Finally get to see him play in his first return MLS match. Ryan Nelson's first match as a TFC coach. And boom, he gets injured. Unbelievable. And I don't know if you guys saw the replay. But basically, Fry came way out of his box. And then realized, holy shit, I need to touch this ball. He puts his head on it, and as soon as he puts his head out there, he gets kicked right in the face.
It's disgusting.
People need to go look at it. It's right at the 45th minute, right before halftime.
It's right before halftime. It's a preseason game, and this guy is running out of the box like a fucking ass to hit the ball head first because he can't touch it with his hands.
Exactly.
Why not go feet first? Why not drop kick this shit, you know? Yeah. Or do a splash, a Jimmy Snuka a splash in the air, yeah. You know? But no, I'll go head first and risk a concussion. At least the guy broke his nose, and we know in the upcoming weeks he's going to wear this fierce plastic mask on his face where he's going to look mean and badass.
But what a bad way to restart your career. Missing so much timing, hesitating to go long balls as a goalie in preseason, just let it go.
Let it go.
Don't risk your health for that. Don't risk your career. You play, what, 5 games in 2 years?
Yeah.
Not even?
Yeah.
He's Rivas. He's a Rivas.
Yeah.
I think Rivas played more than he did.
Oh, my God.
I was listening. I love listening to East Side Stand Up. It's another podcast on Red Nation Online, specifically on Toronto. And one thing I found really interesting that they said was they were basically assuming that Justin Braun is going to be starting for Toronto, that Justin Braun's starting position is his to lose.
I watched that game the other day between Toronto and Philadelphia at the Disney Cup Challenge, and Braun was playing most of the game. I couldn't believe it.
It was a flashback of early Montreal.
It was exactly a flashback. It was Mizav Justin Brown. You know, Mizav. Yeah. Not Mizav Justin Braun, Mizav Justin Brown.
As Philippe Jamais loves to say it.
We used to call him Justin Case, because you never know what could happen. Don't give him the ball, just in case. You never know.
So this guy is their striker right now. Yeah. So the House of Pain, basically, who has Ryan Nelson as the Hand of the King, for those who watch Game of Thrones. So we know
Ryan Nelson is not calling the shots.
We know Ryan Nelson is just a puppet, right? Yeah. He's just a little marionette, and he's going to be manipulated from beginning of the season to the end. So it's just Pain running this whole house right now.
I got an over-under on how many games he's going to coach before he plays for TFC.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's over-under 7 games. How many games does he have to take before he has to put the jersey on and play?
Another prediction for the board. So you're under? You're taking under?
I'm taking over 7. I think it's like 8 or 9 games, and then Kevin Pay is going to tell him, you know what, Nelson? With your glass knees, why don't you get on the pitch? Because we need help.
Yeah. Dude, it's going to be horrible, because at the end of the season, Ryan Nelson is going to get sacked, and my prediction is once he gets sacked, Payne is going to ask him to play for the team. So my prediction is at the end of the season.
All right, you're going
over. Ryan's at the end of the season.
So, guys, is it at all possible, given Braun is starting, Fry is questionable because of injuries, they have a 1-2-0 record now in Disney Cup, is it possible that this team can bounce back come the month of May and actually beat us in the semifinal?
Yeah, with who? Joe Bennett?
Joe Bennett. I got a bad feeling about the Canadian Championship. Yeah. The last 5 years have really, really aided me a lot. I can't believe I'm still having trouble beating them in 2 games. It's not, we don't have to beat them. They're going to play 11 people behind the ball. They're going to do whatever they can to get a 0-0. They'll score one lucky goal, and they'll go through. I really hope not.
Well, we know that, and now it's up to Joey and Nick DeSantis to let Shalibaum know that each time we play this team inside this championship, that they play those 11 men behind the ball. So they got to figure out some sort of tactic, or let's say a European tactic, in order to get about this, because we need to raise that trophy.
Well, there you go.
We need to raise it.
I think, you know, Joey, here is your opportunity to show that your so-called European experiment is working. When TFC go and put 11 men behind the ball in our leg of the Canadian Championship, I want to see how your European strategy is able to penetrate those 11 men and actually score. Because to me, it's going to be unacceptable if our home leg is a 0-0 tie like last year. Because that's disgusting. Because then we're going to BMO Field, and almost anything can happen at BMO Field.
Like a black cat running on the pitch.
Oh, God. I still follow him on Twitter.
The BMO black cat? The
BMO black cat.
It was classic.
And at least this year, we might get lucky because the second leg is at home.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So we might get lucky this year because we... but there's always something shady in the Canadian Championship with the refs and everything. It's Canadian refs. You never know what could happen. It's going to be the BMO at the Big O too. So
all it takes is for one red to drop into our box, and that ref awards that stupid penalty kick, and it can be over just like that, guys.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm scared of, because Kevin brought up a good point. You know, when it comes into these Canadian Championship games, you see a lot of corrupt crap going, a lot of bad calls where it does not make any sense whatsoever.
And we know that there's already match fixing and corruption in the Canadian Soccer League.
I was going to talk about Toronto, Croatia, and all those teams over there that the CSL is no longer sanctioned by the Canadian Soccer Association. Those type of leagues, they're having trouble with match fixing in Europe, especially. Yeah. It's always organized crime anywhere. I don't know who, I don't really care, but There's been a problem in those kinds of leagues and those kinds of games.
Yeah, we got sick people in this world who are going to bet on Croatia, Toronto FC, you know? Come on, man.
If you bet on Toronto, Croatia against the Trois-Rivières attack a couple years ago, you never know what's going to happen.
There you go.
What kind of fiends bet on matches like that?
Anyway, let's just hope it doesn't happen for our Canadian Championship. Let's hope we can book our tickets to Vancouver or Edmonton in peace.
Hopefully, Justin Braun will start those 2 games. and we'll win it.
I am so scared for Justin Braun. I hope he does not evoke the spirit of John LeClair and hat trick goals on our ass. You know, he wakes up and decides to score goals on us. You know, because if he does that, I don't know. I think I might just throw in the towel for Canadian Championship.
As I've said, if we lose our Canadian Championship semifinal, I promise I'm going to run screaming from the Olympic Stadium.
What will you do if we lose, but we lose based on a Justin Braun game-winning series goal?
Oh, you know? I think I might burn a jersey in the street.
Burn a jersey?
Or something. Yeah, I might get some Saputo cheese and just burn it.
A little voodoo on Justin Braun's dolls.
Yeah. So guys, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some Disney Cup, what we've liked so far, and what we have not liked so far.
Going to the finals, Rob.
Going to the final, and we're also going to talk about the MLS fantasy rosters. This is so much fun.
It's addictive.
Come right back. Them a walk and a talk about this a one. Them a laugh and go on about that a one. Hey, what you want, you can't get it. And the problem will get real dready. Say, who feels it knows? And I suppose that you never know. Oh, you reap what you sow. Can't plant a corn when the bees won't figure out. No. La 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 la. We're back on 514 FC. Roberto Garcia, George Chidobe, Kevin Latame. Let's talk about Disney Cup, guys. I guess we're all pretty happy that we're in the final.
We're finally going to the final.
We might lift a trophy, guys.
And I always said that this trophy, if we lift this trophy, it's important because it's more of a motivation for the next tournament, which is the Canadian Championship. And if they're taking this tournament importantly, then they have to give as much as importance to the Canadian Championship.
It builds confidence, it builds team spirit, and you know what? I've watched pretty much all the games and all the little videos, like behind every player, the new series that ML Impact Media does. It seems to have a good team chemistry this year.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps when you have guys like Nesta and De Vaio starting the preseason versus coming in halfway through.
They look in great shape. Yeah. I've watched DeVaio play, and what a difference between this year and last year.
Yeah.
He was good last year, but he had all those problems with the Cachos Comese, with all those the injuries with other players, the play with Felipe, then Felipe goes down. And But this year, with Pisanu on the left, and you get Felipe in the middle.
Oh, it's going to work maybe most of the time with him and Pisanu, but when it doesn't work, I'm worried to see what I saw last year with Marco De Vaio, his negative energy, his tantrums, his arms flaring up in the air, is exactly shaking the fingers to the refs, you know? It's like, if at the salary he's being paid, he has to be a role model for the team, and he can't give that negative energy. Yeah. Because the fans see it, that means his own players, they see it. And when Marco De Vaio is unhappy, then the other players, they know, and the whole cohesion goes to shit, basically.
Yeah. Well, at least Jesse Marsh not there, so you won't get that confrontation anymore.
But, you know, as long as Marco's pounding those goals, that's what we're paying him those mills for, to get those goals. And if he's, three goals in how many games? Three games already?
Three or four goals in the preseason already.
This is amazing. So if he can do that, you know, we can get over 10 goals from this guy next season or this coming season, then this is why we paid him to get those goals. Yeah. And if Pisano's going to set him up or Felipe's going to set him up, then this is why we acquired Pisanu too, you know?
Yeah.
I find he's personally a little bit expensive, you know, with his $495,000 contract, which is being split between, you know, to Montreal and Bologna.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we can get those assists off him, you know, that's more points for whoever picks him in the fantasy roster.
And by the way, if you haven't seen his latest goal from the game against, what is it, against DC.
There you go.
His overhead kick right before halftime. You got to see it.
Beautiful bicycle kick.
A mini Ibra right there.
It's very encouraging. Very encouraging stuff that we've seen. We're two wins, zero losses, one tie in this Disney Cup. We got to bring home this cup. Build that confidence. You mentioned the fantasy roster. This is the next thing I want to get to. I did not choose Pisanu in my fantasy roster, but I did choose a few impacts. So
I'm going to start with the impact. I got Hassoun Kamara on my back line. I got Felipe in the middle. And I think that's pretty much all I got for
you got Rivas as a sub.
Thank you. I got Rivas as a cheap defender. By the way, folks, your salary cap on the MLS Fantasy League is 100 mil. So you're going to have to choose some plumbers to fill in that cap space. Rivas is my defensive cheapo. Also on defense, I got Omar Gonzalez from LA and Victor Bernardes. In the middle, as I mentioned, I got Felipe, I got Graham Zusi, I got Brad Davis from Houston. I also got Jose Villarreal from LA. And in the front, I got Maicon Santos, I got Darren Mattox, and I got the scourge of Team Canada, Jerry Bankston.
good acquisition with Jerry Bankston.
Right? Mr. Hattrick.
And in terms of my subs, I got Rafael Garcia and I got Quinlan Roberts as my backup goalie. Sorry, did I mention I got Jimmy Nielsen?
Jimmy Nielsen.
He was an expensive goalie, but I got him.
Kevin, please share your story on Jimmy Nielsen.
Let me just say he's going to smoke the entire league this year.
Smoked the entire league.
I had a cigarette with Mr. Jimmy Nielsen last year after a game, which was really fun. He was trying to hide from us. He was hiding behind plastic crates next to the restaurant in Saputo Stadium. God, that keeper is good and he's smoking. Can you imagine what this keeper can do in shape?
Yeah.
And not in round shape, but in actual shape.
Listen, Carey Price, your role model should be Jimmy Nielsen. So, Carey, if you're still smoking cigarettes and you want to play efficiently, contact Jimmy Nielsen. He'll help you out. He'll give you a couple of pointers, my friend.
If it's good for Guy Lafleur and Jimmy Nielsen, it's good for me.
There you go. So we're creating a 514 FC group on the MLS Fantasy League. Go check it out. It's fantasy.mlssoccer.com. Join our group, our 514 FC group. Put your roster up there.
We'll provide more details on Twitter and Facebook on joining the group. My picks will be on the next podcast edition. Personally, like I said before, I think Rob, he went a little bit too quickly on his roster. He should have researched a bit more.
He's got a couple good choices, though. I really like
I like his Zusi.
Omar Gonzalez.
I think Maicon Santos is going to play good. I think where is he with Chicago right now?
Yeah.
So I think he's going to play good with Chicago. I like Maddox. The only thing I'm worried about Maddox is, if he starts to cook, he might burn himself, Rob.
Let your mom make that jerk chicken.
He's the only player you don't want in fire. You really don't want that guy on fire.
But like Rob said it, before, the secret to the fantasy league is you get your stars in each position, but you got to get a couple of plumbers too, because you got to respect that 100 mil budget right there.
Well, I really think your breakout player in your team is going to be Villarreal, the striker from LA. LA is going to have a really different team this year, different type of play, and... Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be well with him and Keane.
I'm proud you put Jerry Bankston, the Scourge. He's going to go crazy this year.
I don't hold a grudge against this guy.
We saw him last night.
The beating that we got at San Pedro Sula, we deserved it.
Say it like Noel Rob.
San Pedro Sula. The Americans went down to San Pedro Sula, got their ass kicked by Bankston. I love this guy. We saw him yesterday in Disney Cup. I think we saw New England.
He scored a header.
We saw New England play the New York Red Bulls. Beautiful header by Bankston. I can't wait for this guy to win me this fantasy pool.
And if you win, what's the prize? I think we get tickets to the MLS All-Star Game.
Sorry.
Or if you do good on the points. Anyways, we got to read the details.
You get some nice MLS goodies. As you say, I chose my roster a little hastily because I wanted to get it ready for this podcast. But next week, we're going to hear your genius picks. And maybe the week after, if Kevin is gracious enough to come back, he can... He can let us in on his secret roster.
Anyway, so before we go, guys, just want to bring to your attention, as well as the listeners, the article of the week. And the article of the week is by Patrick Leduc, February 6th, entitled Marche avait pu rester. Translation, Marche
could have stayed if he wanted to.
Do you hear this? This is the paper right here. It's in my hands.
It's a great article. People need to go read Pat Leduc's stuff in La Presse. And basically it said that,
Marsh could have stayed.
He could have stayed, but he basically says that it might have been Marsh that chose to leave.
What do you think about it, Kevin?
I give it a 50-50. I put the blame on both parties. I think Marsh tried to do a little bit poker game with Joey Saputo. It's like, if you do this, I'll do that. And he had no choice but to do it, because Saputo's like, you know what? I'm not going to put up with it. Just go away. And that's, I pretty much think that's what happened.
And what did you think of Jesse Marsh in his first season? What was your overall rating? If you had the report card, you had the teacher, what would have you given him on the bulletin?
On the bulletin, I would have probably given him like a 55%.
Okay.
I'll explain.
Please explain. Please,
that's
explain.
A low grade, my friend.
Please,
well,
explain.
They didn't make the playoffs, so you cannot give him a C. He didn't pass, he failed, right? So you can't give him a 60%. It has to be lower. I think he played a two-faced kind of game. He had one face with the media and the fans, and another face with the players and the direction. What we saw in the media, on all the interviews on the TV and radio, what we heard, wasn't the Jesse Marsh a coach.
Oh.
It was Jesse Marsh spokesperson almost. He tried to be nice, say the right things, but there was always something nagging at me when I looked at him. I didn't think he was honest with the players about his points of view, about how he wants to play the team. He had a view just for the super draft, I think. He didn't have a view for the whole season. And I pretty much think that there was no evolution in the team made by his efforts. The evolution on the team was made by the players who played in a certain way that changes came by themselves.
I see.
So that's why I would give him 55%.
Right. Well, I still love Jesse Marsh. I still love him. I still say that when you look at out of all the Montreal professional teams in Montreal, he was the coach that was loved by the fans and loved by the media. And to be loved by the media, it's very hard. You see it with the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
You don't really see it, I guess, with the Alouettes. Trestman, not once did he speak French. Nobody gave Trestman issues.
Yeah. But again, he won.
But again, you know, my points for Jesse Marsh was that he came to Montreal, he came to a new city, a new country, brought his whole family here, and it was important to adapt and become a Montrealer. And this is what we did. We adopted him as a Montrealer, and he picked up the language, and he tried, you know?
Yeah.
And we shat on him. I still say, you know, it was a huge shat on, you know? Because this could have been all rectified, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we could have brought in Schallibaum as an assistant coach, you know, if we kept Jesse Marsh. But the point is that, you know, both sides, it was all about the power, it was all about the poker faces, and we're only going to find out who won this bet at the end of the year, probably.
No, I think that Marsh wanted to have more discretion as a coach as to who he played, and he probably was not very accepting of criticism from the top office, because look at from Marsh's position, he's been an assistant coach on the U.S. national team, he's won MLS Cups, he's been on some pretty decent MLS teams, he spent a lot of time in the league. He understands the league. So where does a Joey Saputo or a Nick DeSantis come off telling me, Jesse Marsh, how to run my team? So I understood a little bit that Jesse could have maybe made a little poker bluff and say, look, you're either going to give me the discretion to run the team as I see fit, or I'm out of here. And I think Joey and Nick called his bluff and said, okay, well then leave.
Well, isn't this a bit normal? You're a head coach and you do want to have that control?
Well, you don't always see. I mean, we see the House of Pain. Is Ryan Nelson going to have discretion? I do not think so.
Jesse Marsh didn't want to apply for the position as Hand of the King, as Hand to Joey Saputo.
Yeah.
He wanted full control, and Joey wanted full control, and no compromise was made at the end.
Well, I pretty much think that they gave him carte blanche at the beginning of the season, and then when it wasn't going the way that the direction was thinking about it, they're like, you know what, you do this that way then, and change a couple things in your play. But I think the rift started in the middle of the season. With the whole Bernier thing at the beginning of the season and trouble of communications between DeSantis and Marsh. I think the rift happened in the middle of the season, and it was just a question of time.
So then why didn't we just sign DeSantis as head coach for the first season?
Because we've done it twice and it didn't do nothing.
You look at the guy's record, and this guy's record, you know, he has a fantastic win-loss record. He has a great record, Nick DeSantis.
But George, would the fans have accepted Nick DeSantis as head coach once more?
So are we accepting him as technical director right now?
Oh, I'm not sure I even accept him as technical director.
I don't accept, like I said, I don't accept Joey Saputo as president as the club. He's owner, he should be owner, and whatever he says should have power in his words. But as president, TFC brought in a footy-minded president in Ryan Nelson. please, let's get a footy-minded president, or Nick DeSantis become president and somebody else we bring in as technical director.
Mauro.
Well, as I've often said in the past, I think Joey definitely knows about business, knows way more about business than he does soccer. So, I've always said, Joey should focus on selling tickets, selling merchandise, selling overpriced hot dogs and overpriced beer. That is his domain of expertise.
Don't forget overpriced cheese.
There you go.
And face it, Joey doesn't know how to play soccer. Joey doesn't know soccer tactics. And Joey can barely speak Italian. These are big jabs to Joey right now. Joey, stop meddling. Stop.
Well, we're going to end it on that. People need to go read Pat Lidzik's article on February 5th in La Presse. Marche aurait pu rester. Judge for yourselves. Tweet us what you think about the whole situation. We may never know, but let us know your opinion.
Stop meddling, Joey.
So once again, I'm Roberto Garcia, George Chidobe for George Chidobe, and Kevin Naname. Listening to
514
FC.
Yep. Problem. Hey, who feels it knows? And I suppose they want me to storm. You reap what you sow. Bucket to go nowhere. Bottom bound to drop out. Team, who feels it knows? And I suppose that you never know. You reap what you sow. Can't plant the corn when the bees won't feed grow. No. La 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 la.